This podcast contains adult language, descriptions of violence, sexual references, and other possibly offensive themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Previously, on Back to the Story.
As you get to the top, there's a release of arrows and javelins that fly from this line, landing into you at various places.
Amson will kind of sway back and forth as he's getting a little lightheaded from the loss of blood, but he'll take it and he'll kind of dab it against his neck.
And I cast Thaumaturgy and make my voice three times as loud, and I just scream, Ellery!
I can take three with me, the one who summoned me, and two others.
Where can you take them, and take everyone but me?
Oh my god, can we
please
see?
Introduce us?
He's over there. I'll introduce him later.
We're all gonna die.
Possibly.
All he was let us see a dog.
We need to see a dog before we die.
Dog.
He doesn't listen to me.
He's not a good dog. Coming back into it. At the top of the round. That will bring us up to Melly. You can see the unicorn is kind of getting in position to bring Melly, Ball, and Ellery to where Ezekiel described to it.
Melly is going to ask for the gem, and she's going to hold a banishment for when we pop over.
I will hand her the gem.
Okay. So Melly is holding that spell. I'll bring us here to Vesper.
I'm sure I'm laying on the floor.
Okay.
I'm not going to do anything with it now. Would they have taken any extra holy symbols I might have had on me? Because I think I keep at least the pendant of the golden one that Varys gave me in my jacket.
They just took the one that's
okay.
On your main one, your necklace one.
Yeah, okay, good. Because that's the silver one Amson gave me, but I should still have the pendant of the broken one that Varys gave me.
All right, so that will bring us up to Amson. So you're kind of standing at the edge of the door. You can hear dragging, and you can see kind of a white coming around the corner looking at the Batar, speaking another language.
How are they reacting to what this white is saying?
Nodding. He hasn't responded yet, but okay. Calmly.
Amson will look and ask, is she coming?
Yes, she's coming. You're bringing her out now. She's all right.
And I guess that's Amson's turn.
And as he says that, Vesper is dragged out towards the Batar. Vesper, Amson, you can see her. She seems to be unconscious, but doesn't seem to be dead, though she does look pretty roughed up.
Amson will look sufficiently relieved, though still kind of worried.
Okay. So as that is occurring, y'all inside of the dungeon with the unicorn, the energy kind of building up the horn about to be the spell or magic of some sort about to create this sparkling tear in the plane in order to teleport you three. You can feel it already drawing towards you, your hair pulled towards the sparkling rift. As this happens, you see over your shoulders something coming through the doorway. You see a ethereal hand beginning to move through. You can see a translucent face come through afterwards. Looking towards the nearest target, which is Ball.
I don't believe in ghosts, so I don't see it. And it doesn't see it.
It moves towards you and reaches its hands out towards your face, floating in the air. I need you to make a charisma saving throw.
26.
Okay. It reaches out towards you and kind of withdraws after you will it out. You can feel it almost attempting to control your mind. But as it attempts to do so, you press it out, the flames in your eyes and upon your body burning out for a moment in protest.
Does it get burned when it reaches out and touches me? Does it touch me?
It doesn't touch you. It reaches its hand out towards you, but that is what it does. And that will now bring us up to Ellery and the unicorn. So at this point, the unicorn is finishing its spell. Ellery, you technically go before, so if there's anything you want to do before you're teleported, you can do it now. Otherwise, he's about to finish that magic.
Can I drop back in the initiative and wait till after he goes?
After the unicorn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So okay. As the sparkling tear whips, it drags you three behind it as it steps forward first, pulling you through as it...
As we're being pulled through, I just make eye contact with Ezekiel.
He just nods.
As you three are pulled through into the very cramped space where upon the floor in between Melly and Ellery, there's a chest. And it's opened and inside you see your stuff. So that will bring us up to Ellery with Ezekiel on deck. So it's Ellery's turn currently.
So Vesper had the bag, like, didn't she have the bag of holding on her? I didn't hear anything about it being taken off of her.
I should be carrying it because it should be a compartment.
Okay, so you were going to that bag of holding?
Yes.
And not to your gear?
Okay. Yeah, so there was...
Okay, so I misunderstood. Okay, so it's moved since Ezekiel, but you will get close. So it's going to land...
Like when I was over here?
Here. So you guys are south from where you were just a moment ago. And these guys actually aren't there. All right, so Ellery, you appear before you in a hall. As you suddenly appear, you can hear the rattling of bones behind you, behind the unicorn, and two dwarves kind of standing posted at the doors are now looking towards you, drawing their hammers.
I am going to run forward, and I'm going to do this one space at a time.
So you can see two Ombak at the door to the north of you, and then to the south you see a few undead and a few white as well.
Okay, I'm just...
While she is figuring that out, Melly is going to release her spell on the closest one that she can see, because I don't want to waste it.
Okay, on to the closest Zumbok?
Yeah.
And that's a charisma save?
Correct.
That is a fail. That's an 8.
All right, so he's gone. And she's also going to use that to activate her arcane shield, because that is a abjuration spell. So she has a little bit more hit points.
And she still has the mirrors as well.
Yes, those are not concentration.
Okay. So as Ellery's running forward, Melly reaches out her hand as a whoosh, drops a portal opens up beneath the Ombok's feet, falling through, disappearing from here. And Ellery, Ezekiel, you are on deck.
So I'm trying to figure out how much I can actually see since I'm at the top of some stairs.
You're actually at the bottom, so the stairs go up.
Oh, I'm at the bottom, so the stairs go up. I'm going to go, I have one, five feet more, so I move forward that much more. I am going to go ahead and cast Thunderstep.
Okay.
And I want it to take me up next to Amson.
Okay. Can I choose where next to him you
yeah,
want
I think,
it?
Yeah, behind him is the best spot. That I'm going to use two sorcery points.
Before you left.
Do we want to take care of that first before my next thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So 10 feet of where you left, constitution saving throw, including Vesper.
I'm 15 feet from where she was.
Oh, 5, 10, you're right,
yeah.
Sorry. They should all fail.
Okay.
It's a good roll of damage.
That is nice. 9, 16. 18 points.
Okay.
And I use two sorcery points to cast that Thunderstep as a bonus action.
Okay.
And I am going to use my action to lift up my shield in front of me, remembering the way that I've seen Calvin do it, remembering the little bit that I learned at Gaeth Alt, and take the dodge action.
Okay. So you... An eruption, thunderous energy explodes. Vesper, your ear is ringing as it happens right next to you. You can see the skeletons are kind of pushed back and they're kind of barely maintaining. You can see the bones, whatever strange green energy is holding and binding them together is loosened and the bones kind of float and strain to hold themselves back together. As Ellery, you next to behind Amson as Amson, you look over your shoulder and you see Ellery. That will bring us up to this guy. So this guy is going to turn, rush towards Ball. That is a 20 against Ball.
I'm going to use my reaction to shield.
So and, there's a 25 hit you now that you have plus 5 to your AC.
Yes, it does.
Okay, so it still hits. As the shield rushes up, he brings his large hammer over, crashing through, dealing the correct dice that time. 8 bludgeoning damage as it slams into you through pushing through the shield, but it takes fire damage equal to
3.
Okay. Burns back as it kind of withdraws back behind the hammer. And that will bring us up to the man in the amber armor, the Batar, the vampire, staying as Damson kind of slowly turns around to you, Ellery.
Sorry, I forgot to roll the surge for a surge again. And I get another surge.
Okay. Oh, can roll a D100.
Okay.
One more unicorn.
Wouldn't that be something?
Modron.
Oh, that poor Modron.
Okay. That is 52.
Okay. So for 1 minute, you have a plus 2 to your AC and immunity to magic missile. As this occurs, a strange sort of strange rock-like formation grows upon your flesh, covering you. Okay. And then coming back to the vampire, he kind of turns towards Ellery and then towards Amson as he draws this blade. Amson, tell them to surrender or we'll be forced to harm your friend. And as he nods his head towards Vesper on her back, he then moves into a fighting stance towards Ellery and says to you, Ellery, surrender now. Because of our friendship, looking at Amson, I don't want to have to hurt you. And then he smiles. And that will bring us up to Ezekiel. So you are in the dungeon. The unicorn, Ball, Melly, and Ellery have just teleported out. And there is a ghost, ethereal, just stepping through the doorway. About half of its body is moving through at this point.
Yep. I'm just going to nope that and step back a square so that hopefully I'll do go two just because I really don't want him to see me. And then I'm going to bonus action to turn into a spider.
Okay. You still have your action.
Yeah. And I'm actually going to move up on the wall according to roll 20. Spiders have a movement of 20 feet. So okay. I imagine I still have 10 left on my movement. Mm-hmm. So 5 to get on the wall, and then I'll move on the wall 5 and dash and try and just go on the corner. Hopefully he won't pay attention to a spider. I don't know. So that's all I'm doing is just moving around.
Okay. So that will, as Ezekiel turns into the spider, that will bring us up to here and to Ball.
Because I can't see around the corner, can you describe how much we heard from down here? Like, for example, did we hear someone say Amson and talk to Amson?
I think you heard some words.
Did I hear Amson? Because I could think that I might change some stuff.
I don't think Amson has said anything yet, but you did hear the word Amson. You haven't heard Amson, but you did hear someone else say that name.
And I saw Ellery look in that direction and then just kind of...
And then thunderstep in that direction. Yeah.
Okay. So, Ball hearing Amson, and that's kind of all we care about right now is finding our friends. So Ball will look to Melly. Kind of almost even ignoring the unicorn being there and then this dongback that just tried to attack him and say, Amson's there. Maybe Vesper is too. And then Ball will use 2 sorcery points to use fire form as a bonus action.
Mm-hmm.
And then let me draw this. So if I'm starting from here, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I'm going to use my action to dash so I can keep moving.
Okay.
12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, or 18, 19, 20, and then I'll end up here.
Okay.
Sorry, it's a little messy. Yeah.
Down here?
Yeah, because I think that's the only place I can really get to. So maybe I'll go there, yeah.
Okay.
sorry.
Roll damage. Is that a dex save, right?
Yeah, it'll be a dex save. Can George see that at least?
Yeah, I have the Melee's Vision.
Yeah, I just want to make sure you see the chaos that I've started.
Yeah, boy. Yeah. Like you said, Ball turns into a sphere, bursting into flames and rushing all around these enemies.
So they can attack me with disadvantage.
Okay.
I think that's what we established. And then it would be six fire damage to anyone I ran through.
Okay. Oh, boy. Okay. Give me a second to update all this. Okay. Okay, so Ball turns into flames, burning through. A couple of skeletons drop as you land next to Ellery. Seeing that, the vampire then looks towards Amson. I'm sorry. I guess we're doing this. And then strikes towards Ellery as he had a ready to action. That is a 24 to hit.
I throw my other arm up and cast shield.
Okay. What does that make your AC?
25.
Okay, so slams against the physical shield and now this magical shield as it withdraws the weapon back. And that will bring us back up to Melee.
Okay.
Oh, actually, before I used shield, was that at disadvantage because I was dodging?
No, it wasn't. So that is a 22.
I still use shield.
Okay. Melee.
Melee is effectively going to hop through that fire square. She'll brace herself and then just leap through, so she'll take whatever damage from Ball.
Do you want me to reroll, or do you want to use the original one?
Just whatever you want to do. Well, she'll take it. Oh, fuck you. that's okay. You see her arcane barrier takes it, and she is unburned. And then seeing the new situation and that strike go at Ellery, she's going to look at that guy and say, "No, I think you're the right one," and cast Banishment again.
On which one?
The vampire.
Okay. And that's a charisma save?
Correct.
Okay. So that is a 22. Okay. Natural 19.
And
she casts this energy towards him, and he's just kind of, he's holding the weapon towards...
Can Ben Luck do anything with that, Ellery, or no?
I think that's too much for Ben Luck to help.
Okay.
So he's crashed into Ellery's shield as he looks over his shoulder, feeling this energy from Melee as he swipes with his other hand the claws and kind of dissipates it with his crimson energy. Anything else for Melee?
No, I don't think she has anything she can do as a bonus action, so she's just gonna chill.
Get closer to us?
No, that's her full 30 feet.
Mm.
So that will... Vesper, you are on deck. To Vesper. So you're currently on your back, currently grappled, as you see around you flames, as your eyes open wide.
I will use half my movement to get up.
You don't have movement, you're grappled.
Oh, shit. Right. Okay. I look down the steps at Melee and just kind of go, "Took you long enough." and try and smile at her with bloody teeth.
Is that it for you?
Yeah, I can't do anything right now. Okay. Unless, can I healing word myself?
Is that verbal?
It's verbal.
If it's just verbal and you have a holy symbol somewhere?
I do. It would be in the jacket pocket where I had the griffin feathers, which is on the inside over my heart.
Okay. So you can do it. Cool. You have to make a check first, though. At disadvantage.
I'm aware of that, which is a 16 disadvantage.
That'll make it.
Okay. So I will cast that at second level because I'm hurting. D4. Wrong spell. Cool. I'll heal myself up. That's it. That's my turn.
Okay. So you have some back up. That will bring us up to Amson. So Amson, you see your other friend suddenly appear, as well as your friend, the vampire next to you, and begin attacking people. What do you do? And you see your vampire friend retaliating.
Oh, boy. gosh, I don't even know. What would Vesper do? Or what would Vesper? What would Amson do if all of his friends just started infighting? Okay, I think I have an idea of what Amson would do. Yeah, sure. So everybody around him is fighting, and he wants it to stop. So he's going to conjure in his hand a little cloud, throw it on the ground, and cast fog cloud in front of everybody, and just yell, "Everybody stop fighting, please! We can talk about this."
How large is that fog cloud?
20-foot radius.
Just right at your feet?
Yeah, so literally everyone is covered in it.
Okay. They look good?
Yeah, that looks about right.
Okay.
Now, so nobody can see anything.
Suddenly cast this fog cloud that billows out, blinding everyone inside of it. Just going to bring us here. Vesper, you feel yourself being dragged.
That's fine. I won't resist.
Okay. You feel yourself being dragged into fire.
Oh. No, okay, I'll resist if it's starting to get hot and toasty.
they drag you anyway, even on the protest. Ball, go ahead and roll damage. And now they're going to...
Nice. Lowest possible I could get. 4 damage. Fire.
Take 2, because I'm resistant. Itch.
Holler.
They're going to attack. Natural 20.
Is this damage?
What's the disadvantage from?
The fog cloud, or?
Good point. So that was a 15 at first. So that's a dirty 20.
Okay, that'll still hit, but it's not a crit. So
not a crit, not a crit. That is a 16.
That will hit.
Okay. A 17.
Can I PayPal you to stop? Is there any amount of money?
And a 9.
9 will not hit.
Okay. So it's you more than take 12
damage. I'm up.
Okay, we'll have to roll it because we'll see. So you're out, but I need you to make 2 constitution saving throws.
Oh.
Did any of them step back into the fire?
21 and 16.
Okay, so both save. So your max hit points stay the same, okay. But you're currently unconscious in fire.
Cool. Love that. Thank you.
And no one else can understand, but they yell back towards where the vampire is. Something that you can't understand. That will bring us up to this and then this. So Ezekiel, the spectral form kind of drifts in a little bit, looking around. Natural 1 looks around. Looks towards directly where you are on the wall, and then just sees a spider and keeps moving, drifting around, looking around. You can see visibly getting frustrated before drifting back out of this room, and you hear in another language it speaking. It says, to apparently someone on the other side of the door. That will bring us up to Ellery. So you're currently blinded in this fog cloud. So you hear conflict coming from the hallway. Melly, you can see some of the undead are beginning to storm towards it and attack it, and it's fighting back. So Ellery, you can go ahead and go as I'm dealing with that.
Okay. So I can't see anything outside of the fog cloud, right?
You can't see anything at all.
I can't see anything at all. But I know that Amson was in front of me.
Right.
So I am going to push forward and try and grab and drag him as I go in the direction that I lost. Just going straight forward. Which would be 10, 15. That would get me to...
Amson, are you willingly going to go with her?
I'm going to shout as I go to Amson, "Come on, Vesper needs you."
If she says that, then absolutely.
Okay, so it's once you... Let's see, 5, 10, 15... Mm-hmm. Once you get here, you have 15 feet left, which is effectively 2 squares dragging Amson.
Yeah, so I'm going to pull him along with me. And at this point, I'm trying to go forward still. So what I see that Vesper's...
You see a body on the ground in the fire, and also you take damage, so Paul, go ahead and roll.
Okay. Again.
5 fire damage.
Is there any way for me to tell that is Vesper?
It doesn't look like an undead. You can't really see. I mean, you're effectively blinded. I mean, all you can see is vague shapes. You can see two vaguely standing near it, but it's heavily obscured. You can't really see.
Fuck. It doesn't seem undead, though?
It's a shape on the
it's
ground.
It's a shape on the ground.
Yeah.
Can I... I'm trying to figure out what is actually reasonable for me to do under the circumstances.
What do you want to do? What are you thinking?
To try and reach down and see if I can figure out what this shape is.
Okay. You haven't used your action yet, so I'll say you can make an investigation check to see what that is.
Okay. Hey, that's a 12.
Reaching down, it's burnt, whatever it is, but there's flesh there. It's not bone. There seems to be flesh there, as far as you can tell, and not the lithe, stringy flesh of a white.
Okay, then...
It's certainly not a dwarf either when you're just feeling around. Not in heavy armor or anything.
Then I'm going to say to Amson, I think Vesper's hurt, and try to cast Healing Word.
Make a check.
15?
Yeah, that makes it.
Okay.
As you're rolling for hit points, Vesper, you have 3 points of exhaustion at this point. One from the despair,
well,
and then two from Wicked.
Yep.
I don't think we get there often, but we are now.
I'm gonna roll that at second level.
Okay. And going forward, try to tell me what level you're doing it before you cast like the check and stuff. But
no
big deal right now, but just next time.
Yeah, because I still would have used that spell slot.
Yeah, just next time, no big deal. So as you're healing...
7 points.
So Vesper, you awake in the flames. Ellery, are you staying there as you see movement now of the form below you? You have 5 points if you let go of Amson.
I'm just going to step to the side.
Okay.
I think... Can I get through this corner here?
Yeah, you can do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to kind of still tugging Amson's hand so he knows which direction to go, but letting go.
Yeah. So you let go after you see movement at what the form you presume is Vesper below. Do you have to see her? I'm not going to go back now, but keep that in mind with Fog Cloud, and if it requires visual confirmation.
It does.
I'm not going to.
Your choice, you can see.
We're going to continue, but keep an eye on that next round. Ezekiel, you'll be on deck. First, this guy, I believe he's going to take some fire damage at some point, but he's going to come here and attack Melly. So Ball, go ahead and roll some damage.
11 fire damage.
Whew, damn, he's regretting that decision, isn't he? Against Melly, that is a dirty 20 and a 18.
Both will hit.
So that is 11 bludgeon damage as he slams into her.
Okay.
And that'll bring us up to the vampire who's blinded. He is going to... Okay. He's going to say some words in another language. Rosa Foshung Lefbiersh. Vesper, I think you're the only one that can understand that. It says, kill her. Kill them now. And he is going to... As he's running forward by you, Amson, he kind of taps your shoulder and says, come with me. We'll get out of here. Do you go with him or not, Amson?
Amson has no confirmation that Vesper's okay. So I think he would hesitate. He'd be very torn between the two of them.
What does Amson do? He waits.
Yeah, he'll say, I need to know if Vesper's okay, though.
They need to surrender now, Amson. Tell them. And then he darts off.
Can I try and grab at his ankle as he goes by?
Mm-hmm.
And just... that's a disadvantage, but I want to just quickly try and trip him.
We'll treat it as a grapple check, so you have to use strength or athletics.
Okay. I don't, because that's a 4.
Okay. You kick your leg out towards him, but he just takes a longer step and stride over it gracefully as he sprints down these steps, cutting through the fire, landing in front of Melly. Your spell failed. and now your people will fail. Drop it. And as he says that, he's going to strike at her. That is a 18.
Hits.
And a 12.
I will use shield to block that one.
Okay. So she takes 10 slashing damage.
Not to be that guy. Did he roll because he's flanking?
No.
Sorry.
Changes anything. That's not a dirty 20 on the first one. And a 17 on the second, which shield may still block.
No, it does not. But
so it doesn't hit?
I mean, it hits. Okay. So that was 10 damage for the first one.
10 slashing and then 10 necrotic, and her max is reduced by 10.
Okay.
And then the second strike was a 17 total. Does she use shield or does that hit?
She uses shield still, but it does hit.
It hits, okay. So that is a...
Point of order, 5 points of that was my arcane shield and not my HP. It is a different thing.
Okay, so it doesn't reduce the max by that amount.
Okay. And then the second hit was how many?
That is 5 slashing damage.
Okay.
And 8 necrotic damage, which would reduce it if it goes through the shield.
Yeah. No, she's not looking great, but she's up.
All right. That will bring us up to these guys that are moving. Ezekiel. So you're in spider form. You saw the ghost come in there briefly before moving out and speaking to something or someone on the other side.
All right. I'm going to move to the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then are there any cracks in it?
There's cracks in the center and then at the top and the bottom.
All right. I will just go through the top.
Okay.
And I'll try and crawl on the ceiling if I can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm under a dead body. Sorry.
Okay, I got you to the other side. The ceiling is about 10 to 12 feet tall or so. It's not incredibly tall, but... And you see the ghost has kind of moved back into this room.
All right. I still have locate object on Vesper's bag, so I know where. I'm going to just start moving with a dash. I can get up to 40 feet total. So I think that was 15 to get me through the door. Maybe 20?
Yeah, yeah. No, that 15? Sounds right. 15. All right. Yeah.
5, 10, 15, 20, 25. I can get to there. Then I'm just crawling on the ceiling. Hope I make it in time.
Probably so as you're crawling on the ceiling, you turn around the corner and you see there's a white there who's kind of kneeled prepared to attack or ambush. But you hear the ghost communicating in whatever language and just kind of sitting up, confused, looking around as you get there. And... It will bring us up to there as those whites begin to move, listening to whatever that voice is telling them and begin to move. That will bring us up to Ball.
Well, I assume that, like, yeah, you can kind of... this fog cloud doesn't do anything to sound, I imagine. But no. It sounds like there's probably a lot going on, especially with Ball being kind of far enough away from everyone. So Ball's just going to call out to Ellery and Amson and say, Ellery, Amson, Vesper's... surrounded on the steps, please. I'll hold this ground. And then Ball will try to kind of take steps towards where he remembers the entrance to be. I think he will dart by taking the dodge action here, and then he's going to move, and then I won't be able to move through Amson, so he probably will end up here, because that's as far as he can really get.
Okay. And does the fire dissipate at the end of your turn?
Yeah, so I'll try deleting what I can see.
Okay. And ending Ball's turn, we got around 8.
Let me just see if I can do something with a bonus action. Probably not. Sure.
Millie, you're on deck. So Ball, let us know if you have anything as you're looking through. Millie prepares to go at this point. She has a Umbat behind her coming towards her, and then the Batar Vampire moving on her as well.
Yeah, I totally surrender. 5th level banishment on both of them.
Okay. So I will do the Umbok first, charisma save. That's a natural 16.
Any bonus?
1, 17.
Makes it.
Natural 1 on the vampire.
Fuck yes. And the added benefit that Melly didn't know, Amson is no longer charmed.
Yes.
So as this occurs, she casts this spell. The force behind her remains, but the vampire kind of does a smile, and then suddenly his force, his image almost shimmers, and there's a strange after image of doubling, similar to her mirror image before it dissipates. Amson, you're stuck in this emotional turmoil of trying to get your friends to stop fighting, and suddenly it clicks. You were charmed the whole time. No more. Melly, the rest of your turn.
Melly is going to move up. She'll take the attack of opportunity. The other dwarf does come back, by the way.
Okay.
This time he has to roll for a mirror image if he wants to attack her.
Okay, so how does that work? Does he attack first? Or
you roll a d20.
Yeah, it's 11.
No, you're hitting an image, so then he rolls to the attack. If it hits that, then the mirror image is gone. If not, then it stays
back. Gotcha. So that is a 12?
Just hits.
Okay.
So I'm down to 3. That number gets a little bit lower or higher for, or, yeah, lower for you to hit.
Gotcha. Okay, sir. He comes across, slamming into the temple of an image, and it dissipates. As the attack of opportunity, Melly, anything else for you as you're shifting and moving up?
She's just going to shout out, "Vampire's gone. Don't know how long. Can we get out of here?"
So is Melly Vesper, you'll be on deck first. The door behind you moves or opens, Melly. I'm not sure how much you can see, but you see figures moving through it. And he is going to dash.
Klaus, if you brought in a door mimic right now, I wouldn't know whether to laugh or what.
A what? A door mimic?
Like when you're like, the door moves, if it's like a mimic and the door comes to life.
That would be pretty shitty of me, eh?
Just a little.
Sorry, I'm looking at spells. Vesper, you'll be on deck in just a moment. He'll do that. So coming out of the doorway is Braun, clanking forth. I think Melly is maybe the only person that can see as he cast, seeing these mirror images moving around her, cast mirror image. No, I'm sorry, not he cast magic missile. Do I need to roll anything for?
No, those just hit, sadly. But I will use my reaction to shield.
Okay.
So they don't do anything.
These slam against the arcane shield that Melly produces, and that will be the end of Braun's turn. Coming to Vesper. So Vesper, you're on your back, breathing, still grappled with 3 points of exhaustion.
I'm going to try and...
And there's fog everywhere. You can't see.
I'm going to try and healing word myself.
Okay. So make a check.
Hell yeah. 2 15. So that's...
Yeah, that makes
it. 7. Yeah. Oh, thank God. And it's also going to be second level again. I'm burning my last second level spell.
Okay. Try to remember to say this before the checks.
Yeah, sorry. I'm sorry.
All good. All good.
1, 2, 15. Hell yes.
Amson, you're on deck.
And then I'm going to look towards where I heard Ellery's voice, I guess, and just go, "Where's Ezekiel?" Because I think I saw everybody else before the fog cloud went up.
He's trying to get here.
If that's it for you, Vesper, that'll bring us up to Amson. So, Amson, everything that was in your mind is suddenly gone. And so is the vampire. You never even knew his name.
Okay, okie dokie. So, Amson finally understands what's going on here. Lovely. He is going to... Oh, gosh. Amson is going to... Fuck it, I'm feeling lucky. I'm going to drop Fog Cloud. And I'm going to cast Gust on the weird skeletal thingy standing over Vesper closest to me. And push it. It needs to roll a strength saving throw.
There's a 13.
That fails. So it is pushed back 5 feet.
Okay.
And I'm going to stand where it was and crouch down to Vesper. See that she's doing okay. Kind of. Say, "I am so, so sorry." And just stay close to her.
I'll nod.
Okay. That is Amson. That'll bring us up to the white surrounding you. One is going to go towards Vesper, or the other is going to go towards Amson. Vesper first. That is a 17
hit. Can I use bend luck on this?
Okay, so that's a reroll?
No, I need to give it a penalty, so I think I have to roll that.
Okay.
So that's minus 4, so 13.
Does not hit.
Okay. And the second attack is a 16.
Is it the second one at Absinthe?
I'm sorry, that's the second attack towards Vesper.
Oh.
And I forgot to roll to advantage, and that's actually a dirty 20. Yeah, it's a dirty 20.
No, it does. Yeah, of course it hits.
Did you hear me with the cutting words?
Oh.
Yeah. Is that versus damage or the attack roll? I can't remember.
Attack roll, because I said it before. Okay. I heard it.
Sure.
It's not going to do anything.
That is an 8.
So that's a 12.
No.
Okay.
Fuck you guys.
So he reaches out with this crimson, dark energy trying to pull from Vesper. And suddenly there's a strange flash of energy around his hand as Ellery looks towards him with the fog dissipated, locking eyes with him. He then drives the blade towards Vesper's stomach. And Amson, do you say anything as to distract him?
Don't you dare touch her.
You say that, and for some reason it shakes him to the side as he's meeting your gaze and the intensity of it, and he just drives into the stone next to her stomach. The other one's going to go towards you, Amson. That is a 20 and a 15.
Both will hit.
Okay. So you take 15 necrotic damage and then make a constitution saving throw.
Okay. Ooh, that's not great. 8.
Okay. And your max health is reduced by 15. And then you take 12 slashing. As the other one that gusted back, kind of stepping and breaking on the bones of the skeleton beneath its feet, launches out with that dark energy and then a quick follow-up strike with his longsword spinning. That will bring us up to that, and then to Ellery. So Ellery, you are up. As Ezekiel, you see some figures moving from where they were.
Okay. I am going to... I don't like this positioning. So I'm going to move back up the steps a bit. I see that guy right there. But so that I'm within 5 feet of both Vesper and Amson. Do I see both of their bags?
Vesper had one on her back. Did y'all both have yours?
Yes.
I'm trying to remember what they took from you. Okay, then yeah, they have them both.
I'm going to grab whichever one is the loosest, which I think might be Amson's, but I'm not sure.
Yeah,
because I have the one that's like a satchel kind of thing or whatever, I think.
I'm going to grab that from him, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to shout, "Everybody get close together!" And then I'm going to wait until everybody but Ezekiel is within 10 feet.
Okay. So I'm going to, because we're an initiative, it'll take an action to grab Amson's, which you have now.
Okay.
And it'll take another action to get Vesper's, unless she like hands it to you.
What I'm planning is to just shove it into the one on Vesper's back and not try to get it off her first.
Okay. So you have it in your hand now. That will bring us... So you hear more clashing with the... in the hallway... This thing is fighting.
And I, while I'm at it, I still have some sorcery points left. So I am going to cast, as a bonus action, using sorcery points, Storm Sphere behind Melly.
Okay.
So I guess about here. And anyone within that radius has to make a strength saving throw.
Is that when it's cast?
Yes. When it appears or when they end their turn inside.
Let me actually see one thing. What level spell is Storm Sphere? It's a third?
Fourth.
So Brawn is going to see that and is going to cast Counterspell, which is at the standard level, which I think Otto does it anything third or lower?
Correct.
He just cast it at third level. Yeah. Okay.
So he needs to roll a caster level check or whatever it's called in 5e.
Okay.
Yeah, not plus proficiency, though.
That's a 15. So as you conjure up this sphere of crackling lightning and this rumbling thunder, and the sphere begins to expand in the area, Brawn next to it quickly conjures up some ice on one of your hand that just distracts you just enough to shatter the spell. It dissipates. Still spend the spell slot. However, that will bring us up to these guys with Ezekiel on deck. So these guys are basically going to close ranks and move in on Ball. Ellery, you would get a attack of opportunity against one of them if you wanted.
I don't think I have hands free to do that.
Okay.
If I have the shield in one hand and the bag in the other.
Okay. Dirty 20 against you, Ball.
So, depending on the order that they attack in, I guess, because if they do flanking stuff, because I ended my turn dodging. Okay. So I technically still have dodge, but, you know, if they, like, maybe, I don't know how, if they flanked me and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So 19.
I will use my reaction to do shield.
Okay. So they come up and just begin wailing on you, but between you're using your weapon and then just hitting into the armor, slamming into the side of your leg, you grit your teeth and bear it as they are just pummeling around you. That would bring us up to that guy and that guy, these guys. So back up to Ezekiel.
Blissfully unaware of what's going on, he'll just continue to move another 40 feet. Actually, the people that are running, do I still see them in this hallway or no?
They passed. You saw one run off, but you're more of hearing them. It seems there was an ambush laid here and they're now running.
But they all seem to be running in a certain direction.
It seems to be.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep going my 40 feet, even though I'm not going to make it.
So you are continuing to move. That will bring us up to that, and then Ball.
Are these skeletons supposed to move at all, or are they just look mindless? Because I know it.
They're beginning to pour in on you, but they haven't gone yet.
Okay, so it's my turn right now, and I can't really get close to Ellery. Ball's going to just start trying to hack his way through. So he's going to attack the one that's between Ball and Ellery. Sure. So it's flanked, or with flanking. And as he does so, he's going to yell to Ellery and say, I don't care what Ezekiel said. We don't leave without him.
So roll with advantage.
This will be Phoenix Blade with advantage. 23.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's, okay, 14 bludgeoning plus 10 fire damage, and then 7 fire damage to the one beside it here.
All right, as the mole comes down, slamming into me, you almost knock him off of his feet. He struggles to continue to stand as the flames drift off into the one next to him, burning them.
How do they both look?
The one you just hit looks pretty rough already. You hit him hard.
Okay, so Ball is going to use his last two sorcery points, do the same thing, basically.
Okay.
So again, with advantage, he's just going to attack the same guy because he's got the advantage thing.
Okay.
With advantage, I believe that hits.
Yeah.
That's 11. And then for the fire. Okay. 4 to the first one and then 8 to the second.
Okay. The one that's after a second hit, he tries to recover and put this shield up, but it's too late. You smash down over the top of it, bearing it down as the other one is now burning at this point. He has his shield up. He's trying to protect against it, but Ball's fury is breaking through.
That's all I can do. Can't really move anywhere.
The skeletons begin to move in. Melee, you will be on deck. So I'll move all those. Ball, what's your AC to beat?
It's 19.
Okay.
And they might be attacking with advantage here. I don't know how you want to.
Okay.
Some might, at least.
So you take 20 points of slashing damage as these skeletons all crowd around you and begin slicing toward you.
I still have my reaction that I could use, so I was hoping that you kind of tell me who, who all is hitting me.
They're all skeletons, so they're all dealing the same amount of damage.
Okay. All right, so if it's all of these guys hitting me, then I know you said the damage, but I would, in this case, use my shield.
Sure.
So then it'd be 24. I don't know how many that reduces.
I think I had 2, so that would be 12 damage instead.
Okay. And everyone that did hit me would take 3 fire damage.
Okay.
And Ball's looking very low.
Okay. That will bring us up to Melly. Okay. As these guys are moving through.
Melly is going to hope and pray. And taking the opportunity attacks, because I need my action, she's going to move 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
So first attack, I have to roll to see if you get a mirror image. This is my roll. I rolled a 16, so the first one is against a mirror image.
Okay. That is a 20-something.
So it kills another one, and now I have to roll an 11 or higher for the last mirror image, which I do not. So she's at Melly.
Okay, so that is a 19.
It's gonna hit, yes.
Okay. 9 necrotic damage and a constitution save.
I don't know why she's disadvantaged, but...
So her maximum hit points reduces by 9.
And actually, my barrier got recharged, so it's all shield.
Okay, now. Okay. So it does matter then. She does need to make a constitution save for the banishment, right? Or is that non-concentration?
It's not my HP. Okay. Abjuration wizards are fucking nuts.
Okay. All right. So Melly charges over there. And what do you need your action for? Go for it.
I am going to take the bag off of Vesper and move down one more square.
Okay. So both bags are now out and ready.
And that should put me within 10 feet of everyone except for Ezekiel. Take as little of them with us as possible.
So that is Melly. That'll bring us up to Braun. So he's going to... as you see Braun kind of behind the whites stepping up. I should have known it didn't like this. As he puts his hands together and this fractals of ice begin. So let me make sure, see where this goes. All right, so basically everyone needs to make a constitution saving throw.
Is this going to do more than 5 damage?
Probably.
Okay.
It's a 4.
Okay.
This is where we TPK, guys.
I will 18. Fucking scream.
Okay. So, Amson, you take 42 points of cold damage. Paul, you take 42 points of cold damage.
Melly doesn't even have to roll. She's out.
Okay.
Because of my reduced max hit points, Amson is outright dead.
Ellery, what is that, true?
Yep.
Okay. Ellery, you take 21 points of cold damage.
Okay.
So who's out at this point? And if Vesper's unconscious.
Oh, no, wait, 42?
42.
Okay, yeah. He needed to do 2 more.
Okay.
Oh my god.
I hit -30, not -32.
So Vesper's unconscious at now 4 exhaustion levels.
Yep.
Amson is unconscious at 2 exhaustion levels. Ellie's unconscious at 1 exhaustion level. And Ball's unconscious at 2 exhaustion levels, I believe.
So this will be the first time that Ball's done it. Ball has something similar to the orc racial.
Okay.
So it's Phoenix Spark, where if you're reduced to 0 hit points, you can use your reaction. Oh, fuck. I can't even use my reaction, eh? Okay, so Ball's unconscious as well.
Did you use your action before?
It's a shield when all the skeletons attack.
So here's a good question. What about all the dwarves and the whites?
I'm about to roll for all of them.
Okay.
This is kind of a Hail Mary on them because it affects all of them as well.
Braun was cool with like killing 5 of his people.
They're undead.
His people are right behind them.
That's true.
There are 3 dwarves there, dude.
That's true.
Just saying. That's a pretty shitty.
That's a bad boss.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
There's got to be a
lot of dead, though. Let me see if there's something you might do instead.
Does a unicorn cast counterspell?
Yeah, where the
what is the unicorn up to right now?
He's fighting undead in a hallway, and he got you to somewhere, but let me see what he has. Maybe this. Let me say that about this spell. Thank you for bearing with me on patience here.
Take as long as you need to decide we're not going to die.
Yes. Okay. So instead, I think this will work instead. That's a fair point. So basically, everyone but Ball needs to make instead, so undo that damage, instead a dexterity saving throw.
Oh my gosh. That is so much better.
That is good. Still only a 5.
22 for me.
Okay. And so that is instead a little different.
Oh my god. George, I could kiss you right now. I won't, but I could.
May not help.
Fair point. Okay. Let me write it down. So I'm... So, Vesper, what'd you roll?
I rolled a 5.
So you take 12 bludgeoning damage and 20 cold damage. Amson, you take half of that. So you take 6 bludgeoning damage and 10 cold damage.
Unconscious.
Ellery, you rolled a 20-something?
Yes, 22.
So you
22.
Take 6 bludgeoning damage and 10 cold damage. And then Melly, what did she roll?
14.
She just saved. So she takes 6 bludgeoning damage and then 10 cold damage. So what this is instead a column of ice storm, this hail of ice, these shards, these blocks, as hard as rocks, but just began pummeling the area. They hit the whites as well, but not his own people.
Melly is alive with 1 hit point.
Oh my god.
And maintains concentration on banishment.
I love her so.
Holy shit.
Holy shit. Oh.
Okay. And that area is difficult terrain all in there. So that is Braun's turn. Let me roll for the whites. Not great. And also not great. So that will bring us up to Vesper as I calculate this out.
I see Ellery and Melly and what they're planning. So with whatever...
Did you say you're unconscious?
Oh, that's right. I am unconscious. Never mind.
So
I'm panicking.
Death save.
No advantage because I've already used my token thing, right?
Correct. Yeah, it's once per some amount of time. I can't 12, remember.
12. So, okay.
Okay, one save. That brings up to Amson.
Okie dokie. I'm going to use the advantage one because this is my first death saving throw. And that succeeds, but let's see if I roll that 20. No, 16. So I'm good.
Okay. So you are both unconscious, but there. That brings us up to these guys who are still alive.
Wait, Roger made a good point. Is it disadvantaged because I'm at 3 levels of exhaustion? And that's technically a save, or?
George, do you know? I mean, it says death save, but I can't remember if they consider it.
It is technically a saving throw, so
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So
that's an 8, so that's a failure.
Okay. Good call on that.
Thank you.
So glad I
these
could.
Guys. So the whites now, who are pretty heavily pummeled, they're just going to attack at this point. They're going to step over Vesper and go for... Is Melly still conscious?
Barely, but yes.
Okay. So one is going to go against Ellery. So that is a... There's no one on the other side. So that is a against Ellery 17.
No.
And a dirty 20.
No, I don't think Ben Luck's going to help on this one. Wait, a dirty 20. So yeah, I'm going to shield.
Okay. Does that negate the
yes
sword at dirty 20? Okay. So he reaches out with that necrotic energy and you kind of duck under it. The sword is coming towards you. And you're not going to be able to dodge this one in these confined quarters. Instead, you blast a shield that forces it back. And then the other one's going to go for Melly. He's going to have advantage because he has a ally on the other side.
First one hits the mirror image, my one remaining.
Okay, so that's a 20.
Killed the mirror image. It's just me now.
Okay. And it was a 4 the first time and a 20 on the second.
It's...
But it's not the life drain. It's just the regular sword.
She's unconscious. I have 1 hit point.
Chin damage or something. Okay. So he reaches with the life drain out, and Melly's able to tuck to the side with wounds bleeding. But with a sword, he drives it into her as she falls to the ground. He's then going to step forward. So that will bring us up to this person and that person. What's in the vampire? So 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. They're going to sprint. 40, he's going to get there. He's going to get there. So both of those had to sprint in order to do that. And then the vampire. Okay. She's going to stop there. Had to sprint to do it. Ellery, you are on deck. And this thing is going to come out there. Don't think it can do anything. So you see whites sprinting out from some ambush they were setting up, are now backtracking, trying to get to you, and floating out of the wall. I'm not sure if anyone can see it. Something comes through the wall. Don't think it can do anything. So not from where it is, so it's going to sprint right there. But I had to sprint to do it. That will bring us up to Ellery.
I see all of these enemies surrounding us. I see... How many of my friends are down right now? Is it...
All of them.
Ball's still up.
Everyone except for Ball. I don't see Ezekiel. I shove the bag of holding into the other bag of holding.
Okay, I was just checking out to see if there was a save. 10 feet. 10. Okay. So as you do so, you fold it over, struggling. Get it over to the top, and there's a strange, almost like shockwave of magic that you can't quite see, but something shifts across everything. Even the whites kind of look at each other as they're moving towards you, stepping over the unconscious bodies of your friends. And then there's suddenly a as a tear. The fabric of this plane opens up, and then there's this light, this dim blue purple light that shimmers as the tear is cutting open. The tears run across the back, spreading like shattered glass until the tears grow wider and eventually open up. And there's a sudden sphere of energy, of purple and swirling, that pulls everything inside. And then we hop back to Ezekiel. So you're in spider form, and we're going to kind of come out of initiative here. As you're crawling along the ceiling along this hall, you see a few Umbok still running through, opening these doors, heading out as you kind of follow the trail. And as you're doing this, suddenly that focus upon where that bag is clicks out. Wherever it is, it's no longer here, or it doesn't exist.
I think there's a moment where Ezekiel just stops and freezes. And then he'll kind of just take his time crawling on the ceiling, seeing how everyone is reacting now that presumably his friends are gone. And he's going to try and... That up those stairs, is that still in the building? Is there an exit that anywhere I know? Or do I know which way the exit is from here?
Yeah, the exit is here. It's up these stairs. So the building is partially underground.
Okay.
Some of it entirely.
Since we're just kind of going, and I'm a spider, so I don't think anybody's going to care, I want to make my way to the front door and start making my way to the top, or to the roof of the building. And when I get up there, what do I see? Do I see things flying around? Can I see the dragon?
Sure. So as you get to the top, as you're crawling along the ceiling towards the exit in order to get to the roof, you hear rustling, and then eventually you see the unicorn is kind of backed up, and there's a number of dead skeletons and Umbok at its feet. And there's a number of others that are kind of crowding around it, but it's kind of backed up, and they're kind of nervously trying to communicate. As you continue forward and kind of come out, you see outside there's a number of undead, mostly just skeletons at this point. You see Braun kind of leaned against the wall at the stairs, kind of staring at this point on the ground where there's nothing. There's no bones. There's this distinct almost sphere where there's no bones, there's nothing in this tight air, and he's just looking at it. As you come out and climb the building towards the roof and look around, you can see in the next minute or so, you see cavalry, undead, led by the vampiric Chauvel, and the vampires upon the undead cavalry ride forth first. Not a moment later, a couple of these creatures land, these large bat-like creatures, being ridden by these similar vampires in the amber glass armor batars as they too dismount from the bats, beginning walking towards the embassy. You look towards the tower and you can see purple, dark violet, nearly black flames just reach out from the balcony, briefly lighting and dim light that area.
I will make my way to the tallest point of this building that I can find.
The building, it looks like the left part is mostly the umbach, the dwarves, and to the right, there's a larger tower that goes up higher than the rest. This appears to be where the Arcox are. You can see these almost like, looks like stained glass windows that kind of peer in as you climb that long tower. It goes to the top and there's a stained glass dome at its top. This kind of dark mauve colored glass. Inside you can see it looks like a cancel table and there's a number of people sitting around it discussing papers out. Some people reading, writing, working on things, all in these robes, these strange people with large eyes. As you get to the top and above you, you see no stars except for the scattered, shattered scar across the sky, God's wound. As you get to the top.
When I get to the top, I'm going to use an action to give myself little baby spider wings, and I'm just going to start flying straight up. And when I think I have about, I'll dash as far, I want to get as high up as possible. When I have about 2 rounds, so 12 seconds left on my wings, I am going to bonus action drop my form. So now I'm floating up there, and I will just say, all right, Scales, it's up to you now. You've got this. And I will try and cast Daylight on myself.
Okay.
With a 14.
Makes it.
And then I will let the wings dismiss, and I will fall to the ground in a blaze of light.
We see this image as Ezekiel wishes the Scales well, as he's conjuring up the light in his hands. And we see this image as the camera almost shifts behind and over his shoulder. The eagle-like brownish wings kind of flapping, holding him up there. As he's above this embassy, you can see the skeletons and undead and the horses like ants beneath you. The city of Set mobilizing in the distance. Bats flying in, the vampires, these dark creatures. As you conjure up the light, large, as if bringing the sun. And as the light rushes forth and spreads along the ground, you can see the few vampires are shielding their arms. You can see it burning away. As you conjure this sun, this mini sun in your hands, and you fall. And we see the camera, the visage shifts back distance, wide angles. You see this last glimmer of sunlight dropping from the sky and slamming into the ground where there's a burst of sunlight. You see bones scattering to the ground as the light is bright enough to blind us. And we'll see what happens next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Back to the Story. For notifications when an episode goes live, you can find us on Stitcher, Google Play, Player FM, or TuneIn. Download the app and subscribe or favorite us there. We also have a YouTube channel called Back to the Story, an actual play podcast. If you'd like to contact us, you can tweet us at @back_to_the_story. If you can't fit it into 280 characters, you can email us at thebonfirefables@gmail.com. And if you'd like further information about the campaign, the player characters, or behind-the-scenes sneak peeks, follow us on either Twitter or our Tumblr website. Lastly, if you'd like to support the show, feel free to buy us a coffee at ko-fi.com/backtothestory.